That's the first question. 19 questions here. Shall we talk about, and he's added the 19th. Why is it that nobody knows what it's all about? I mean, everybody knows what Pesach is about. Everybody knows what Shavuos is about. Everybody knows what Sukkot is about. If you talk about Pesach Sheni and you get rather a blank, what's it all about? Yeah, we know what the din is, but, you know, why are we not celebrating it? Why aren't we making a Seder night on Wednesday? For those people who didn't do the Seder properly in the first place. And I'm sure not everybody had the right kavanas at Seder night. So why don't we have another Seder night to accentuate it? And then we're going to see various other questions and different minhagim which take place. So let's start going through the sugya. Before we start, we have to learn the sugya in Pesachim Daf Pei Gimel, where it tells us three tanoim. There are three different tanoim who have an argument as to what happens in certain circumstances. Let me just read it out. The first Tana is Rabbi Noson. He says, Hizid Berishoin, if you were amazed and didn't bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, then you had it. You can't bring it on Pesach Sheni, forget it. Why? Because the Pesach Sheni is a Tashlumin. Tashlumin means you make up for something which got omitted previously. Right? But if you didn't have anything to do with the first occasion, you can't say I'm going to make up for it later. If you accidentally forgot it, it was a shoigeg, okay, you can bring your tashlumin. But if you purposely didn't do it, you had to. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that Rosh Hashim is going to make a great party this week. And in that party, he's making a party because of a tremendous event which takes taking place. And you're all invited to that party. And then what happens? Some people couldn't quite make it because they were busy abroad. Oh, they had some other accident, they had some big chesed they had to do in a different part of the world. They couldn't make it. So what would the Rosh Yeshiva do? He'd say, I'll tell you, I'll keep some of this back for you, come a bit later, and we'll keep some of the stuff back for you to enjoy later. But what if one guy says, I'm not coming to the Rosh Yeshiva's party, I can't stand the Rosh Yeshiva, and I couldn't care less about his party. Would the Rosh Hashiva keep some stuff for him for later or not? Well, he might be, you know, this particular Rosh Hashiva. But most Rosh Hashiva would say, get lost! So that's what happened with Reb Noson. If you're amazed and didn't bring the Korban Pesach, how are you going to make it up later? Forget it. But if you're a shoigeg, you give you another opportunity. That's Rabbi Noson. So remember, Rabbi Noson's shitta is that the Pesach Sheni is what's called a tashlumin. You make up for something which was missing. The next Tana says, no, it's not so. He says, the next Tana is Rabbi Hanina ben Akavia. He says, you only chayav chorus if you miss out both. In other words, if you didn't manage to bring the first one, even if you're amazed, we'll still give you a chance. Do you know why? You know why that guy who was rude to the Rosh Yeshiva and chutzedik to Rosh Yeshiva, he's still a yid. Maybe he'll do tshuva. And if he's done tshuva, we want him to mekabel, we want to give him another chance. So we're given it. But that's not a tashlumin. You're not making up for it. That's what's called takanta. So he says it's a takanta, not a tashlumin. Tashlumin, you can't make up something which you've rejected. It's the takanta. The Torah gave you a second opportunity to do it. So that's his shitter. Even if you were amazed on the first, if you brought the problem Pesach Sheni, you're okay. Then will be another nafkimin, legabi ager. A person whose geishin is gayer b'meas sefirah, you all heard the famous shaila. Well, you all know the shaila, whether can he continue counting the sefirah? Because he didn't count the first part. Whereas, in the same thing, a person who became a geir during the b'meas sefirah, what's the din about bringing his Pesach Sheni? Would you have an opportunity or not? That's the same machlokas. Then we come to the third shitta, which is the shitta lahalacha of Rebbe Yehuda Anossi. Rebbe, the great Rebbe, said, not like either of them. Rebbe says that Pesach Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzma. It's neither a tashlumin nor a takanta, although it imports ideas of both. Rebbe holds that it's a Regel Bifnei Atzma. Therefore, if you were Shogag Berishoin, you didn't bring the Korban Pesach, Vehizid B'Sheini, Yechayev Chorus. Because Yechayev Koros, even though you were a shy gig in the way when the first carbon pesach was brought, you've now got the opportunity to do it again, and so regel b'fmeyatzmo, you are chayev for that. There's a whole shaila of exactly what the shit of Rebbe is, which is not for now, though when you learn the sugya, you can see there's a stir in the Rambam, Pesha Mishnah, to the Halacha, as to exactly what is going on here. But from our perspective, we've got three shittas. Tashlumin, that means making things up. Takanta, giving a chap another opportunity. And Regel Bifnei Atzmo. Those are the three shittas. And the Halacha is like Rebbe, that's Regel Bifnei Atzmo. So now we're going to start our... I've got 18 questions. I hope I get through the questions before it's time for the answer. But we'll have to cut some of the questions short. But in case I haven't, Rav Aaron has got there a list of them, and you can look at it later and fit it all in. Now, the normal way of learning a sugya is, you have a kasha, it's difficult. The best way of answering any kasha is to ask more kashas. And the more kashas you ask, the more you realize you haven't understood pshat in the first place, because you wouldn't have had the kasha if you had. The more kashas you ask, the more you realize you're not learning pshat properly, and then you look at it again from a different perspective, or from the other perspective, there are no kashas at all. And you only come to that by asking more kashas. So we'll start with the kashas, and by the time we finish the kashas, the answer should be obvious. Kasha number one. In the Chumash, the Moedim are mentioned in five different places as a group. Five places. Anybody want to tell me what they are? First one, which Sedra? Come on, you should be Boki B'Chumash. Mishpatim? Second one? Kisisa. Kisisa, somebody said that, yeah? Mishpatim? Kisisa? Next? Emma, well done. Emma is the main one, well done. That's that you should certainly know, because we learned that very recently. Pashta Merdim. Emma, next. Pinchas. Who? Pinchas. That's where all the korbanos, every half master comes from Pinchas. And the final one? From where? Ray. In those five places, you've got all the Sholosh Regolim, and in two of those five places, you've got Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. There's reasons for that. We're not discussing that at the moment. Those are the five Parshiyos HaMerdim. In not a single one is Pesach Sheni mentioned. Now that's problematic, especially if it's Regel Bifnei Atzmo. Why isn't it there? You will not find Pesach Sheni in any of those five places, even though Rabbi Yehuda Nossi says it's a Regel Bifnei Atzmo. Where has it gone? You know, sometimes something more is told about a person by his absence than by his presence. I don't know how many boys are not here who should be here at the moment, but the fact that they're not here tells us a lot more about them than the boys who are here. Because we know that the boys who are here are all Talmidei Chachomim, all wanting to learn. The boys who are not here, we've got other reasons. Well, maybe there's not they don't like me, that's another possibility. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say, if it's not there, it gives you a message. So what's the message that the Pesach Sheni has got lost? If it's such an important mitzvah. Question number two. Why is it not a Yom Tov? All right, not a full Yom Tov. At least like Chol HaMoed it should be. Why is Pesach Sheni completely Chol? If it's such an important day. It's a day when they brought a korban from which you could save yourself from Koros. And Rebbe said it's a regel. Then why is it not mentioned? Why is it not a Yom Tov? Question number three. If you look through, which is the sefer which tells us all our dinim? What's that called? Come on, what's it called? If you need to find the halachas, where would you look? Which sefer would you look? What? The sefer for halacha, which is it? Shulchan Aruch! The Mechaba, the Ramo, and nowadays the Posseg Achron is the Mishnah Brura. Have you ever seen it in the Pesach Sheni mentioned anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch? I'd like you to try and find where it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. You spend a long time looking for it. Why is it not there? It's Pesach is there, Shavuos is there, Sukkot is there. Where is Pesach Sheni gone? It's an important din. I mean, the Chassidim eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. So, why isn't it mentioned? That's the third question.
What should it mention? I mean, it's only if you bring the korban. You don't have to have the korban.
Good point. we, where I come from, still say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. I say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. That's the Minig Sunderland, Minig Ashkenaz. Chazanish, I think, they said Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. I don't know what the Minig in here is. Many places have now taken on that you don't say Tachanun. Okay, but, I beg your pardon? Right. All right. So we need to understand, why is it such a non-event? You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no korban. It's only korbanos. But when we have an inyan of a korban, we normally have some sort of recognition of the day. The second day of the Omer is actually, it's Chol HaMoed. So, although there is a question which the Emek Brocha asked on the first day of the Omer, why is it not a Hallel on the second day of Pesach because of the Omer? It's a famous Kasha. The answer is not all that dissimilar from what you're saying. All right, I'm not saying you can't answer any of these Kashas individually here and there, but in Klaliastic looking at it, maybe. With the answer, it'll come more clear. Not every kasha is unanswerable. What he says, Ein Omrim. All right, well, that's Rabbi Tikhachinsky, but I'm telling you, in Sunderland we said Tachanun. Right. I don't think that Minhag Eretz Yisrael is necessarily Minhag Ashkenaz. A lot of it's Minhag Agro. A lot of it comes from the Minhag Sfardim, from the Beis Yosef. So you can't necessarily say that Minhag Yerushalayim is Minhag Ashkenaz. Right, number four. Why do you give a guy a second chance to do a mitzvah? Have you ever thought of giving a guy a second chance to blow the shofar? He didn't manage to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Very important mitzvah. Let's give him a chance to blow shofar in Cheshvan. I didn't manage to take the lulav this year. There was no lulav available. So let's take a lulav in Cheshvan. There was a guy who did that once in history, do you know? Do you know the guy who made sukkahs in Cheshvan? Yerovam ben Nevot did that. He decided, we can't have Yom Tov in Tishri like the Torah says, because that's what they do in Yerushalayim. We'll make our own Yom Tov. And he made it in Cheshvan. Yeah, you imagine what a churra he made out of that. Chotim achdis arabim. But we don't have a tashlumin. If you didn't manage to do... Oh, good answer. Now that's a good answer. Right. There are only two mitzvahs I say which have got chorus. One is Bismillah, and the other is Korban Pesach. That, but Emes is an answer. And as I said to you before, although you can give that as an answer, it's a good answer, a very good answer, and that's the answer which we normally would give, you'll see it's still a bit of a doichek. And I can turn your answer on its head, actually. If something is so important that you get chorus for not doing it, why on earth are we giving him a second chance? It's so vitally important it should be here. Let's say, for example, you have a session in the yeshiva where the Rosh Yeshiva would like you all to be here to hear a godless coming along. There's a second-rate speaker coming, or a third-rate speaker like me is coming along, and we'd like you to be present, and you don't manage it. That was such a good thing that we'll give you another chance to hear. We'll take a tape of it, we'll hear it later, or we'll make him come back. But can you imagine if somebody like Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky was coming here, the God Lador is coming here, and you've got the chance to be here, and you don't show up? You think you get another chance? Do you think you deserve to have another chance? Of course not. So your answer of saying that a chorus means you should have a second chance, I can turn it on its head and say, but Emes, there's no, absolutely no reason at all you should have another chance when it's such a serious aveira. For a lesser thing, I can give you another chance. But for this, why should I give you another chance? I beg your pardon?
You could say the opposite.
Of course you can. I'm trying to say to you that your answer is brilliant. It's a lovely answer. But at the same time, let's see if we can fit it into the overall picture and make more sense of it. Because you could answer it the other way as well. Right, next question. As I said to you before, each of these questions possibly could be answered on a one-off basis. But it's the overall picture I'm trying to get. When you learn a sugi, a kash from here, a kash from there, of course you can pick off an answer here and there. But the overall picture is what comes out. I mean, you take a boy who doesn't turn up for the Bissa Medrash. One day he's got this Teretz. Another day he's got a different Teretz. The third day he's got another Teretz. But at the end of the day, there's an overall picture. That guy is not really a masmid. He's not really interested. So you're answering our little questions individually, but you're not really getting to the point. It reminds me, my father, Zichron Levrocha, used to tell the story of a guy who was always late for shir. He's late for, he wasn't in the yeshiva, he was in the besamedrash. And they had a cheder in the evening. And in that cheder they had a rebbe, and the boys had to come, and there was one guy who was always late. So every day he came with a beautiful excuse, a brilliant excuse each time. One day the guy came with an excuse. He said, "Why are you so late?" the rebbe said. "Well, the kettle hot nishka boiled. The kettle wasn't boiling. The kettle is boiling. Well, my mother needs the hot water, and I had to wait for the kettle to boil for them." He says, "Kettle boiler zog weiter." And that guy got the name of kettle boiler ever afterwards. He was the kettle boiler. And that, what he's trying to say is, the rebbe is saying, "Give me, los me up. You give me a shtus, an excuse. You are basically just draying a cop. You've got this excuse this week, this excuse that week. You're going to blight the kettle boiler, so we should all know exactly what sort of rubbish you're talking about." So, all right, fine. We've got terutzim, but if we can find an overall picture, it'd be better, yeah? Right, weiter. So, that was question four. I hope you're keeping count of the questions, yeah? Right. Question five. If I'm going to give you a second opportunity to do something which is missed out, how long am I going to give you normally to do it? Now let's take Shavuos. You all know that there are two days after Shavuos as to whether you say Tachanun for 7 days or not. We do say Tachanun. The Minhag Yerushalayim, in many places, I think, is they don't say Tachanun for the whole week. Only we have the minhag Isru Chag and after to say Tachanun. What's it all about? The reason why Tachanun is not said for 7 days after Shavuos, do you know the reason? Who can tell me the reason? No? Because you've got a tashlumin for 7 days. The korban, which you could bring in the Beis HaMikdash, could be brought for 7 days. On Pesach, you start from the first day, you go to the seventh day, so there's no more necessity. But on Shavuos, which is only one single day, you have 7 days to do tashlumin. 7 days, not 30 days. So why give the guy 30 days later? Are you going to tell me? Because he might be away, and we need to have him to come back. But then give him a year. Let him wait till next year for Pesach if he's going to be away. How do you know he's going to be away? The Ikka reason is not because he's going to be away. The main reason that we have Pesach Sheni is because he might have been Tommy. Now tell me, what's the longest period that a person has to wait for a fixed tumor? I'm not talking like Tzoras, which can go on for months, because as long as it's a Tzoras, as long as it's a Tzoruah, he's Tommy. But let's take somebody else who became Tommy from a Sheretz, from a Nevela. Do you know your Hechistum of the Torah? How long are you Tome from a Sheretz? How long? Erev Shemesh. You go in the mikveh, you're all right the next night. How long from a Nevela? Also Erev Shemesh. So what's the longest Tome? No? Tome Mess. If you're a Tome Mess, what do? Hazor Shlishi Ushvi. Then you dip yourself in on the seventh day and you're going to your Torah at night. So how long does Tumma take to get rid of? 7 days. So let's say the guy was Tumma and couldn't bring his Korban Pesach. How long does he need for Tashlumin? 7 days. So,
he went
to
Snekeda.
Pardon? Oh, now, wait. Yeah, let us Snekeda would have to wait. Har of Shemesh would be at 66 days, so it's not going to help much. Clearly, it's not for her. But now you've mentioned Beremes, the next question. Question number six. Now, this question was mentioned by Shlomi Zimmerman, who's a Bokhi in Taurus in London, that gives Shurim in Taurus. And this shows Charifus. You've just mentioned that there is another form of Tumor. Other than Tumas Mess, we can take longer. You mentioned the Yoledes, but Yoledes won't work because it could be for 60, 70 days, 66 days. It won't help.
She's
a Tzolus Yoruch. Yeah, but she can't bring the Korban Pesach. No, but let's look at it like this. There is not only there's another form of tumour which lasts for quite a little while. That's tumas nidor. A nidor or a zovo lasts more than 7 days. This is exactly 7 days. And the zovo, yeah, but that depends if the nidor continues. Yeah, the nidor continues. Yeah, you're right. Okay. If the nidor continues, then I could go into zivo. A zovo would be 3 days, and 7 days, it would be 11 days, whatever it is. It's a little bit longer. Okay, so now, which tumor is the most frequent tumor that a person is likely to meet in life? Not tumas mes. How often do we get Tommy from a tumas mes? Yeah, now and then. You know, but we don't see a tumas mes every month. But there's one group of people who are Tommy regularly for the majority of their lives once a month. Who are those people? Anybody know?
Women.
Women. Women who become bas mitzvah and start their menstruation, they then become nidus, and every single month until they become very old and their blood stops, they'll be tummy every month. Agreed? Now, the Rambam, although there's a bit of a shile about this, the Rambam paskens that, and I read out what the Rambam says, Ezehu tummy shenidcha lepesach sheni, who has the din of being nidcha to pesach sheni, zovim, zovois, nidos, v'yoldos. All these people who were tomei on Pesach Rishon would have to bring a korban on Pesach Sheni. Agreed? The Rambam says that. Maybe a reshus, but they can bring their Pesach Sheni. Now, let me ask you a question. If a nidor becomes tomei on the 14th of Nisan, when is the most likely time that she'll become tummy a second time? How on? A month later. And not necessarily a whole month, it could be usually 26 days, 27 days, 28 days, that week. Therefore, it's absolutely kimat baruch shemesh that she'll be tummy on Pesach Sheni as well. So why on earth be koveya a tashlumin for Pesach Rishon? You couldn't bring your korban for the biggest group of people who are almost bound to be tummy on Pesach Sheni. It's a brilliant kasha. You get it? You made Pesach Sheni in order to let people who couldn't keep the Pesach Rishon bring. And the biggest single group of people who you want to try and help to be able to bring the Pesach Sheni are going to be tummy on that day next month. It's ridiculous. Something's wrong. What? Yeah. Okay. Why? The Rambam says there's a din of nidus as well. All right. It's for tummy mesh. Okay. Let's see why it's for them. We need to understand why. You didn't... Pashtus is that you couldn't bring your Pesach Rishon, so you got an opportunity for Pesach Sheni. What you're saying is Tom MS, you're right. But hey, why? What's it all about? Why are they different? If you're going to do it anyhow, it's a Torah. Doracho darachinam, don't make it worse for people. Try, at least make it on a date which is going to work for people. No, but it doesn't matter. I'm not saying every woman is a nidor on the 15th. I'm saying there'll be people whose vesa starts at the beginning of the month, but there will be a section of women who will start at the beginning, and whichever ones are at that time, the ones which will miss Pesach Rishon are 99% certain to miss Pesach Sheni. That's the kasha. It's a juicy kasha, if you think about it. You have to use your seichel a bit for that sort of kasha. Right. Now, we're going to get a bit of a move on with the other kashas. Next question is, if Pesach Sheni is replicating Pesach Rishon, why are you allowed to have chomets? Pesach Rishon, you're not allowed to have chomets for the Korban Pesach. Why? Because the Korban Pesach is meant to remove all chomets. We need to remove all Lashon Hara. We need to remove all the chomets represents, which is laziness, sleeping in every morning, being late for davening, thinking too much of yourself, being Bale Gai. That's what Chometz is all about, speaking Lashon Hara. And you didn't manage to do the Korban Pesach, then Pesach Sheni, we give you another opportunity. Well, at least then, let's remove the Chometz then too. But we know that on Pesach Sheni, you're doing enough Chometz. Why? Question number 9. Oh, yes. Why is there a custom among many people, not where I come from, may I tell you, but many people have the custom, especially Hasidim and Sfaradim, to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni? You're not allowed to eat matzah out of Pesach. On 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, you weren't allowed to eat matzah. So why on earth are people eating matzah on Pesach Sheni? So you're not allowed to eat it. Because when you bought the korban Pesach, you had to wait until the korban was brought to eat the matzah. So if you're going to eat the matzah, the minhag should be to eat on the 15th. Yet people have the minhag to eat on the 14th. It doesn't make any sense. Right?
Pesach is only because you're going to eat it at night. On Pesach Sheni, you're not going to eat it at night. You're not going to eat it in the day because you're going to eat it at night.
Yeah, but if you bring the Pesach Sheni, if you bring, for those people who brought Pesach Sheni on the 14th, right, they would eat the Pesach Sheni at night. But everybody eats matzah. You don't do things which contradict. I'm not arguing with you, I'm just saying, 50 out of 100 for your answer, but I'm asking on the other 50%. Agreed? Yeah. A shtick of cash is door, yeah? Good, alright, okay. I'm not saying you can't get by it, but it's doichuk. Yesh letaras bedoichuk. Right. Next question. We said before that the Pesach Sheni does not appear anywhere in the Parshas Hamoedim. Where does it appear? Anybody know? Baal Oscho. What happened in Baal Oscho? Good man, it happened in Baal Oscho. What happened in Baal Oscho? What happened was that there were certain people who were Tzmeim Lo Nefesh who complained and said, Lomo Nigora, why should we be worse than anybody else? We would like it. What then happened? Moshe says, ooh, Taka, you know, maybe you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. He went and said, hang on, I'm going to ask him to be Shmo. He went, I'm going to go and ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He went to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he said, yeah, let them make Pesach Sheni. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that there was any in the Pesach Sheni. He had to go and ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? If Pesach Sheni was so important, and that you give a Tashlumin, why is he going to go and ask the Ribbono Shel Olam? And why do we have to wait for these guys in the Midbar to come along and say, we ought to have an opportunity? It should have been part of the Torah at the beginning. Pardon? Yeah, that's the teretz. Fine, but you're not doiches something just in order, and no other reason. Yes, that is true. What you say is true. The Mefarshim explain it like that. But that's not really enough of an answer to say that we only heard about it because what happened to them. Yeah, I understand. We want to give them the discourse, but it still doesn't answer the question of why it should happen that way if it's a mitzvah in the Torah. As I said before, it's a possible answer what you said, but we need a little bit deeper. Next, that particular parasha is in the wrong place. If you look at Baal Oscho, you'll see it's not Keseda, it's in the wrong order. Now, had it been telling us simply history of what had happened, then that parasha would have been at the beginning of our Midbar, it would have been a different place. So the fact that it's out of order must also be to tell us a message. What is that message? Next question, I've got to get a move on, so I'm going to go quickly. That parasha in Baal Oscho starts off talking about, we'd like the Korban Pesach, where about the Korban Pesach, and all of a sudden, it changes. They said, we want a Pesach Lashem! We want a Pesach Lashem! Why does the first half of the parasha talk about a Pesach, and then all of a sudden it's talking about the word a Pesach Lashem? Wasn't it a Pesach Lashem before? And if it was before, why after? Why after has it changed? We need to understand why the terminology is changed from Pesach at the beginning, then afterwards they said, we want a Pesach Lashem. Next question. You've got to look at the parasha to see that inside. Well, I'll leave you just with the question very, very quickly. I haven't got time to deal with it now. In the Haggadah we say, Al Matzah Samarorim Yochluha, whereas that is from the Parsha Baal Oscho, whereas Pesach Rishon it says, Matzahs Al Marorim Yochluha. Why is there a difference between the two? And why are we using the wrong Pasuk in the Haggadah? We're using the wrong Pasuk in the Haggadah. We're using in the Haggadah in Kairach, We're using the posuk from Pesach Sheni, and Seder night we're on Pesach Rishon. So why are we using the wrong posuk? The right posuk should have been Matzos al Merorim Yochlu, but in Koyrech we say al Matzos al Merorim Yochlu, which is the posuk from Baaloscha. The Belzer Rebbe gives a beautiful answer, which is an answer, but it's not the Kuli Alma. He says we're hoping Mashiach will come any minute, and if Mashiach comes any minute, we'll be able to do Pesach Sheni. And therefore, in the Haggadah, we want to mention the Pesach from Pesach Sheni, so we'll be able to do it. But first of all, not everybody agrees that we will be able to do Pesach Sheni. It's not so posh. And secondly, it's a little bit doichik to say for that reason alone, the Chachazal took the wrong Pesach. It's not so posh. Maybe we've got a better answer, which we have if we learn in a second. Next question. Very quickly. The Pesach tells us in both places, in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, that the Geir and the Ezrach are going to be the same. Ke Geir, ke Ezrach. Why are we told, Stavka in the case of Pesach, that the Geir has got the same din as a Jew? There are certain places where we're told that. There's one in last week said about Lo Sonu, Lo Nor. Oh no, there's a special Pesach not to be the Me'ana a Geir, as well as a Yid. Ribbis is also. But there's a good reason in those places, because it's telling you, be careful not to hurt the feelings of a Geir. And in those particular mitzvahs, it's necessary. But why is it necessary in Korban Pesach to say that a Geir's got the same din as a Yid? And of course he's got the same din as a Yid. A Geir's not a Yid. A Geir doesn't tell us he's got to blow the shofar like a Yid. A Geir's a Yid, he makes the bracha. He's got to do the mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs where a Geir have to be careful not to hurt his feelings. There, a Geir is mentioned specially. Not to the honor of a Geir. But what's Korban Pesach got to do with it? And yet both places tells us Geir and a Yid are the same. Next question. There is a Havamina that if a Geir becomes a Geir, he's got to bring a Korban Pesach when he's a Geir. How do you become a Geir? You go to the Beis Din, you learn how to become a Jew, you then do Bris Milah, you have a Tvilah, and you have a Kabbalah Samitzah, and then you're Jewish. The Rashi quotes it, the Gemara, you might have thought that the Geir, when he becomes a Geir, he has to bring a Korban Pesach. Why? Why? Become a Geir, he blows the shofar, becomes a Geir, he takes a lulav. You wait for the right time. A person who becomes a Geir, you have a special limud in the Torah to tell us he doesn't bring it, then he has to wait for Pesach to bring it. Why do you need a person to tell us that? What's so special that you might have thought a Geir has to bring a Korban Pesach as part of his Geirus? That's a very important question, that one. Because it gives you you're going to see in a second, it gives you the clue to the whole of the answer. Question 16 I'm going to leave out. It's a difficult Bala Turim. You've got the note here. You can look inside, and when you see it there. Question 17 is the Rambam. You know the Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvahs in which he says 14 Shiroshim, and he calculates what the Tariag Mitzvahs are. But one of the rules, you do not qualify for Tariag Mitzvahs unless it's a separate mitzvah. So, for example, Tfilin Shel Yad and Tfilin Shel Rosh is a Gansa Machlokas, whether that's two mitzvahs or one mitzvah. Because is it two separate mitzvahs? But everybody agrees that the fact that the Tfilin have to be black and the fact that the Tfilin have to have Ritzuas is not one of the Tariag mitzvahs. The Tariag mitzvah is to put Tfilin on. The fact that you've got to make them black or they've got to put a Parshias in, that's a prat in the mitzvah. Agreed? So why then is it that the Rambam tells us that Pesach Sheni is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo? It's one of the Tariag mitzvahs. It's a prat in Pesach. If it's a prat in Hilchos Pesach, then it shouldn't have a separate mitzvah for itself. It should be just part of the mitzvah of Pesach. He didn't manage to make us do that. No, says the Rambam. It's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. It's not a prat in Hilchos Pesach. Final kasha. Why were these people who became Thomas so annoyed that they weren't able to keep the mitzvah? We have a rule, onus rachamona patre. If a person is a complete onus, he's potter from the mitzvah completely. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't bring a korban. He's done no chet at all. If you're an onus, a real onus, nobody can find you guilty. You don't have to do the mitzvah over again. Why then were they so bothered that they went to Moshe Rabbeinu with tiniest, look, we were busy burying the dead, we ought to be given another chance to bring the carbon paste. And let me ask you another question. If somebody was trying to save somebody's life on Shabbos, and it was Pikuach Nefesh, and because he was so busy on Shabbos, he wasn't able to daven Musaf on Shabbos, because he was so busy, do we say, you poor thing, you missed Musaf on Shabbos because you were doing Pikuach Nefesh, we'll let you daven Musaf on Sunday on Shabbos. We'll do a Shabbos ticket Musaf, you'll daven on Sunday. Ridiculous! He's an onus. He doesn't have to worry about it. It's Imala Lava Kosov Kilo Asol. It's as if he's done it. So why were they so bothered? They shouldn't have worried about the carbon Pesach at all. They were doing mitzvahs. They were burning dead Jewish people. And they couldn't bring the carbon Pesach because of it. So why were they so fussed? What bothered them so much that the carbon Pesach should be different? Okay. Those are the most of the questions. We'll take a bit longer to embellish them and to elaborate on them, but I think you've got the general picture. We've got a lot of questions as to what's going on. Let me tell you the following. There is a famous Yaivetz who says, do you know the reason why we have matzah on Pesach Sheni? It's not because of the matzah that they had on Pesach. There's no need for that. He said, "Nisgale limin hashemayim." A beautiful lashes. He once had a dream from heaven. Hakadosh Baruch Hu opened his mind and he said, "You know why we have matzah on Pesach Sheni? It's because it's 30 days after they went into the land, and the taste of the man that they had lasted for 30 days, and the man was now disappearing. And because the man was now going to disappear, and they were going to eat now only from the food of the land, they needed a zecher to remind them of the matzah and what the matzah represented so that they could go further." That's what he says. That was where the minig to eat matzah came about. Nothing to do with the carbon pesach. It's to do with the mom. That's what he says. That's where the minig came about. As I say, we don't have that minig, but those people, many people do. That's where it comes from, he says. Niskale limin ha-shomayim, that the matzah that we eat is because we want to continue on what happened in the midbar. The taste of the man should continue. There's another Indian here. The purpose of the Korban Pesach, yes, it's true, there's a chorus like that gentleman said, but there's more to it. The Korban Pesach was the one thing which divided us from the Goyim, took us away from the Goyim. We had the Dam Bris and Dam Milo. We were Avodah Avodah Zorah, as the one that says, Halolo Avodah Avodah Zorah, Halolo Avodah Zorah. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu choose us? Well, he chose us because with the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, we kept certain mitzvahs in certain kedusha in Egypt. But the main point of the Korban Pesach was to take us away from Avodah Zorah. The Goyim worshipped the Paschal Lamb. They worshipped the Lamb. We have to be different. We worship Hashem. We've got to break the Egyptian indulgence with Avodah Zorah. That's what the Pesach was all about. To take us away from Avodah Zorah. Now, the whole Indian of Yetzis Mitzrayim was a break away from the Avodah Zorah of the rest of the world. To make us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Pesach was all about. Now, after 30 days, what happens is we can become very, very attuned to wherever we are. For example, there's a halacha that you only have to put on a mezuzah in a chutz la'aretz, on a rented accommodation after 30 days. Because until 30 days, you're not considered as being living there. Similarly, you don't have to pay taxes to the community until you've lived in the community for 30 days. The halachas at 30 days makes you kaviyistic. So 30 days is the end of a period after which you're then, so to speak, absorbed in the new situation. What's happening here in Pesach Sheni is this. After we've had the Inyan of Pesach, we have had 30 days of getting used to becoming to the bread. After the matzah, the 30th day is a time when the message of Pesach is getting a bit thin. Because we are trying to work towards Shavuos, to Kabbalah Satorah, and along that path, after 30 days, it's not quite what it originally was. So, in order to make a tikkun for those people who didn't get the message of Pesach loud and clear, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi says, it's not just a tashlumin, it's not just a takanta, it's a regel b'fnei atzma, it's a time for introspection. It's a time now that we should be getting ready for Pesach, especially for those people who haven't got the message of the original Pesach. The who didn't, that means if you weren't able to bring it, then it's time now, we'll give you an opportunity to give it again. It's not like the shofar, it's not like the lulav. It's because of the deep message of the Pesach, the fact that we've got to cut ourselves off from Avodah Zorah completely, that the Torah prescribes something which is not a mayed. It's just a reminder of where we are supposed to be on our journey towards Shuas.
Why
is it called a regular pronouncement? It's a regular pronouncement because it's not dependent only upon having missed the first... The first Korban Pesach, right? So, what it means is that it says, for example, Shogag Berishon v'Hizid B'Sheni Chayev Koras. In a sense, if you were a Shogag on the Rishon and the Rishon was the only thing which counted, then you wouldn't have had to bring have a Koras. It says, Rebbe, the only reason why the second one is there is not just simply to replace the first one, because if you missed the first one b'shogeg, why should there be a chorus for missing the second one? He says, no, the purpose of the second one is to make sure you've got this message loud and clear, whatever happened on the first occasion. That's Rebbe holds. So now, that explains why a geir might have had a half a minute to bring it. The whole point of a goy who becomes Jewish is he's got to give up his Avodah Zorah. That's the main neguda. A goy is a person's shakua and Avodah Zorah. When he becomes Jewish, he's got to give up the Avodah Zorah. So therefore, it makes good sense that at that time he should bring a Korban Pesach, just like the Yidden did in Egypt. So therefore, you might have thought he has to be in Korban Pesach, so that he doesn't have to. But when it comes to it, on Pesach, that geir, who has all the elements of being a Avodah Zoronik, we make sure that he should be like the Yid. He's got out the Torah tells us specifically, the geir's got the same chiyuvim as a Yid. Now that also explains why the people were so upset, Loma Nigora. We were Tmeim Lemesim. We couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. It's true we're Oinus. It's true had it been the Shofar would have been Potter, or Shabbos would have been Potter. But we didn't get the Segula of being able to get this message to be, that we should be part of Am Yisrael and not busy with Avodah Zorah. We want to be different. We want Pesach Lashem, not to Avodah Zorah. That's why they changed it. It's not just Stamma Korban Pesach, it's Pesach Lashem. That's what they wanted. And that's why they kept on saying we want a Pesach Lashem. And the fact that we're in Onus doesn't help. We need to have a Korban Pesach in order that we can get internalized the inyan of the fact that we are Am Kodesh, we're part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There was one group of people who never were affected by Avodah Zorah, who didn't sin at the Ego. Throughout the wilderness, they remained faithful to Hashem. What was that group of people? Who were they? Noshim. That's why it doesn't matter that the 30th day is chosen, because it wasn't for the women. The tikkun is not for the women. They don't need the tikkun. They never got involved in Avodah Zorah. It's well known that their nemonis is much better than the man. If those of you who have learned the sugya of the chulda and the bor will know that it's the man who goes astray, not the woman. The women are much more reliable and much more faithful, and it needs a good wife to control the avrechim that they should keep there on the bor. The women don't go astray nearly as much as the men, especially in those days. Therefore, there was no necessity for a tikkun for the Noshim. The Korban Pesach was not necessary for them. They didn't need the tikkun. So the fact that it's the 30th day has got nothing to do with the women. The whole raya, that they would have been tommy anyhow later. Yes, they can bring it very nice. It's a big Indian, but it's not what is necessary for them to be kept on the straight and narrow. Therefore, the women were exempted. But the men, at the end of the Shloshim Yom, we need a boost. The boost is that we should remember that the matzah is still not finished. the message that we've got to be zrizzistic, the message that we mustn't be bale gaiva, the message that we've got to keep the Torah and avoid any form of Avodah Zarah, and don't think Avodah Zarah is over. It's true that Avodah Zarah in the olden days was bowing down to an idol. Today, it's bowing down to the computer, bowing down to your iPods, bowing down to smoking, bowing down to making money, and bowing down to covered. That is what the modern Avodah Zarahs are. The Avodah Zarah today, which absorbs the Yidden, is an Avodah Zarah of a different type. It's much more insidious. It's not like bowing down to a golden calf. It is bowing down to golden money. That can sometimes be the Avodah Zarah of today. And therefore, the Korban Pesach, the message of the Matzah and the Korban Pesach has got to be emphasized at the appropriate juncture in the period between Pesach and Shavuot, which is exactly the 30-day point, and that's why we have it then. But that's also why we don't have to make a special Yom Tov of it, because it's not there for the purpose of one of the Moyadim. It's just a reminder that we should be going in the right path. So I hope that when you eat your matzah at this Pesach Sheni, you'll eat it and realize what you're eating, why you're eating it, and get ready now, in the next couple of weeks, ready for Kabbalah Satorah on Shavuos.